Why didn't Sauron leave Mordor? If he really was this incredibly powerful control freak, why didn't he come out and lead his army, like he did in the First and Second Ages? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the channel for you. Welcome. Okay, let's start by getting out of the way the fact that at this moment in time, during The Lord of the Rings, Sauron did have a physical body. I covered that in detail in another video if you're interested. But he wasn't just a spiritual being or an eye on top of a tower. If he had wanted to leave the Black Tower and wander around or lead his army, he could have. So why didn't he? Well, obviously he did do in ages past. He roamed all over Middle-earth. In the First Age, he first was commander of Morgoth's fortress of Angband, then attacked the Isle of Tol Sirion, hunted down Barahir, and much more. In the Second Age, he took on the identity of Annatar, spending 300 years in Eregion forging rings, led his army into two wars, went over to Numenor, and so on. It's clear that Sauron was not, by instinct, a stay-at-home general. Indeed, as someone who loved control, being out in the field and doing things himself rather than delegating was probably his default position. He didn't like leaving things to other people, unless he knew they were under his control. So what was different in the Third Age? Was he just hiding? Well, there is an element of truth to that. He hid in spiritual form, probably in the Far East, for the first 1,000 years of the Third Age, then for many, many more years in Dol Guldur, under the guise of the Necromancer. When Gandalf went to investigate, he fled, and when the White Council went much later to take him on, he fled again. Hiding from things and fleeing was his modus operandi for much of the Third Age. But as we draw closer to the main story, he seems to have abandoned that idea. He announced himself to the world once more in Mordor in the year 2951, ordering the rebuilding of the Dark Tower and so on. From that moment on, he definitely wasn't hiding. The whole world, or the wise at least, knew where he was. But still, it's very noticeable that he doesn't, from then on, venture forth from his fortress. He doesn't wander the land like he did as Annatar, or lead his army like he did in the War of the Elves and Sauron. Even when there is a perfect moment at the culmination of the story for Sauron to make an appearance just outside the Black Gate to taunt Aragorn and Gandalf, thinking his victory is all but assured, we could have seen Sauron's face as his hubris comes crashing down. What a moment that would have been. He doesn't. Instead, his place is taken by a previously unmentioned servant, the mouth of Sauron. This is a very clear literary choice by Tolkien. We never get to see the main antagonist in the story. Indeed, the story is named after him. He is the Lord of the Rings, but we never get to meet him. Well, I want to suggest that there are a few practical in-world reasons why Sauron doesn't ever emerge, and a couple of literary ones too. First, we can't compare this version of Sauron to the Sauron we saw in the First or Second Ages. He no longer could take on any physical form he wanted. He could no longer appear to be fair, like Annatar, or be able to fly like a bat, as he did in the First Age. Since he had been caught up in the god event of the destruction of Numenor, he could only now take on a physical form that reflected who he really was. He looked like a Dark Lord. So stealth missions and cunning plans to deceive the opposition were out. If he emerged into the world, everyone would know it was him. And also, though he probably didn't like to admit it, this was the weakest Sauron had ever been. In the grand scheme of things, he was still a very powerful being, but he no longer had the ring. It had taken him millennia to recover a physical form, and he had slowly started to realise that there were some other powerful beings out there too. A long time previously, he might have wondered if he was the only Maiar left in Middle-earth. Now he will have known about Saruman and Gandalf and the Blue Wizards, probably Radagast too, given his proximity to Rhos Gobel, and the Balrog. And there were other very powerful beings out there too, like Galadriel and Elrond and Smaug. And somewhere out there were the three elven rings of power, boosting some people's power. You get the idea. Sauron wasn't stupid. He knew that without the ring, he was vulnerable. And he will have remembered that the last time he ventured forth against the last alliance of elves and men, he had been defeated. The time before that, he had been caught up in the doom of Numenor. The time before that, the elves and Numenoreans had pushed him and his army all the way back to Mordor. Sauron was proud, but realistic. He was powerful, but he wasn't invulnerable. But as someone who loved to be in control of events, wouldn't he want to be there anyway, to personally lead his army into battle? Well, I guess not necessarily if he knew that he had control over whoever was leading his army. Enter the Nazgul. They had freedom of action but were absolutely under his control, and he could always see what was going on through the Palantir he had. Added to which, it's not as if Sauron had just one army going on. As we reach the climax of the book, there is the army attacking Minas Tirith, his allies the Corsairs of Umber on the south coast of Gondor, another force that took Cair Andros, an army of Easterlings attacking Erebor on his command, and a large force based at Dol Guldur that variously attacks Lothlorien, Mirkwood and Rohan. All were important to his plan, but which would he personally lead? And if he were personally leading one army, how could he oversee the rest of the war without the Palantir he had, or supervise the support from his vassals, or the huge army he held in reserve in Mordor, or his vast empire expanding out beyond Mordor to the south and east? Taken objectively, the sensible thing for the leader of that war effort to do was not just focus in on being the general of one army, but coordinating the entire war effort. He had other, arguably more important things to do than deal with the day-to-day problems of an army preparing to siege a city. He had Denethor to push to madness through the Palantir, Saruman to keep on track, the One Ring to keep a track of, notable opposition like Galadriel to keep a wary eye out for. If we're looking for an in-world reason why Sauron stayed where he was, I think this is it. It's actually a sensible place for him to be, added to which, he was the weakest he'd ever been. There were powerful enemies out there, and he will have remembered what happened the last few times. All in all, why risk it? But if we take a step back, I think there is a literary reason here too. Having the main antagonist and evil presence in the novel be off-camera all the time is a brave choice, but a very clever one. Sauron retains his sense of mystery and threat throughout the story. What is he capable of? What does he know? What might he do next? It remains a mystery. This is, of course, a trick that has been used by countless fantasy and often horror writers through the years. 5 books, for example, into A Song of Ice and Fire, and we still don't know what the others want or what they are capable of. In the movie Alien, as another example, the exact nature of the alien was kept a mystery for a very long time. Our mind often fills in the gaps with even more horrific details. What does Sauron look like in The Lord of the Rings? We each probably have our own horrific idea. As we read or watch for the first time, the very name of Sauron is a dark mystery. What will he do? What is he capable of? It is perhaps lost when we know the story so very well, but when it was first released, the very character after whom the story is named is a dark enigma, and we can project onto him not just our fears, but our own conceptions of what evil is. When you dig into Sauron's character, you can start to understand why he was like he was, but to casual readers, he often appears a lot more generic or an amorphous evil presence. Tolkien's commitment to applicability in his story, over allegory, means we get to project onto him some of our own idea of evil. Why didn't Sauron leave Mordor during The Lord of the Rings? Because staying there was actually the sensible thing to do. He had a war to manage on many fronts and was as weak as he'd ever been. Staying in the Black Tower was the obvious lowest risk thing to do. And it also allowed Tolkien to make Sauron as evil as our imaginations would allow. Not actually seeing him just adds to the mystique. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to my playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.